Today we're going to end off the series of Halacha Shirim on connected to Hilchot Shabbat, and we'll speak a bit about Muktzah. First of all, the reason for the Gezeirah. As you all know, Muktzah is a Gezeirah Derabbanan, and the question is, what's the reason for the Gezeirah? So the Rambam in Perek Chaf Ben Hilchot Shabbat says that the purpose of the Gezeirah of Muktzah is in order to preserve the nature or the atmosphere of Shabbat. If a person would be allowed to move around Muktzah items, so he might wait until Shabbat to do all his, let's say, restacking of his warehouse, rearranging things, etc., etc., because they're not technically malachot, it would basically change the nature of Shabbat, and therefore Chazal goes there and needs to Muktzah in order to preserve the nature of Shabbat. The other reason the Rambam brings is in order that a person not do a malacha. In other words, Muktzah, in some of its forms, is like a geder, a fence that Chazal erected around certain actions in order that you shouldn't come to do a malacha d'oraita. The Ravid adds on a third reason, and the reason he brings is in order that people shouldn't come to be over on the malacha of being mavir mirashut l'rashut, bringing from Shura Rabbim to Shura Yachim, Shura Yachim to Shura Rabbim, limiting what people could do. I remember the Rav Zatzal once mentioned that there isn't really one Gezerah of Muktzah. There are many different Gezerah of Muktzah, and they didn't necessarily happen exactly at the same year. In other words, there are different layers of Gezerah of Muktzah and different types of Gezerah of Muktzah. And the truth is that bears out, as we will soon see in the different types of Muktzah, it also bears out the fact that that the Gezeirot of Muktzah are spread out throughout Masechet Shabbat and throughout Masechet Beitzah, and it's not really one central area where Muktzah is discussed. Let us first, before we go further, get into a certain nomenclature or types of Muktzah and different concepts. First of all, there are different reasons or motives a person has to move an item. One could move an item litzorech gufo, meaning that you move an item basically for the need of that item itself. As an example, you leave your MP3 player outside and you don't want it to rain on it, so you want to move it indoors that it not get ruined. That's tiltul for litzorech gufo. You have another type of tiltul called tiltul litzorech makomo. Let's say you have your MP3 player on a table and you want to learn on that table on Shabbos, so you want to use that area of the table. To move it would be considered tiltul litzorech makomo. You're moving it for the need of its place. Then you have tiltul litzorech atzmo. And that would mean basically to use it for its mass. In other words, let's say I have napkins and they're being blown away by the wind, so I take out my MP3 player and I use it as a paperweight to hold down the napkins or the serviettes, whatever the case may be. Right? And lastly, there's tiltul litzorech tashmisho. In other words, to move something because you want to use it. To pick up a hammer because you want to hit something. That's tiltul, right? Litzorech atzmo for the tashmisho for its normal use. Now, as some of you might know, the issur muktzah is not an issur of touching something. The issur muktzah is to move something. In other words, to touch a car is mutter on Shabbat. You're allowed to touch something that is muktzah. If the object is muktzah, you're just not allowed to be metaltel. You're not allowed to move the object. Even moving the object is limited. The issur is limited to a specific type of normal movement. In other words, if a person does what's called tiltul kla'achayad, he moves it, let's say, with his elbow, or moves it with his hip, you know, say moving, or kicks it with his foot, if it's a type of object that's not normally kicked, halachically that is not considered tiltul. In other words, an example, if you're walking down the street, which happened to my son once when I was walking with him, and he saw a big wad of money in the street, in his case, it was 600 shekel, and it's Shabbos, right? So the money is muktzah, and we're going to get into exactly what kind of muktzah it is. But to kick it with your foot is not tiltal. So that if it's in an area that has an eruv, a kosher eruv, okay, there wouldn't be a problem of, let's say, kicking the money to the side where you hope somebody else won't see it, and then after Shabbos picking it up, because kicking it is called tiltul kla'achar yad, and tiltul kla'achar yad is not considered tiltul. I'm just giving you one example. Another type of tiltul that's generally permitted, not always, but generally permitted, is tiltul min hatzad. To take, let's say, a utensil, some other thing, a shovel, let's say, and pick up the money, would be tiltul min hatzad. Okay? Tiltul min hatzad is not permitted letzorach davar ha-mukza. In other words, you couldn't, let's say, take a shovel and pick up the money, but in other situations, as an example, let's say the money is on a table, and let's say we paskin that money is a tiltul chomer that you're not allowed to move letzorach makomo normally. What you could do is you could take a little shovel or a spoon or whatever and pick it up min hatzad, and then put it down somewhere else. And as you're using something else to move the item. And if I picked up a sefer and pushed the money to the side, that would be tiltul min hatzad. Okay? Alright. Now we're going to get to the specific types of mukta. How many different types of mukta are there? Anybody want to throw out a number?
Seven.
Do I hear eight?
Ten.
Do I hear 11?
Four.
Story's over. Now, there are some poskim that actually count something like 21 different types of muksa. Okay, and just a question of how you categorize and make a subcategory, subcategories. I'm going to talk about 11 types of muksa. Okay, for those of you who thought muksa was muksa, you know, and there can't be different kinds of muksa. The Eskimos have how many different kinds of snow?
200.
Huh?
Seven.
Okay, whatever. Whatever. I heard something like 13, but maybe it's 26. Muktzah, we have 11 different kinds of muktzah. Alright? But even these 11 type of muktzah, I could make into groups. And the first group that I'm going to speak about is muktzah chamur, meaning it's the most strict level of muktzah. What does the word muktzah mean? Where does it come from, the word muktzah? Anybody?
Eh?
Meaning?
Cuts.
Yeah. Cuts. Yeah. Meaning?
The end. Meaning removed, separated.
Okay, good. Something that you completely separate or negatively push out of your domain or out of your use, okay, is the concept of muktzah. You put it aside. Something that's put aside is muktzah. And basically, the concept of Chazal, the way Chazal started was to take certain items that in our Shabbos use, in normal Shabbos life, we don't need, we have no use for, is muktzah. Things that we have normal use for is usable, and it's muktzah. Okay, and the things that we have no use for is basically considered muktzah. It's out of our domain, something we wouldn't use. Okay, so something that is severely out of our domain is considered muktzah chamur. Let me give you the first example. Muktzah machmat kisaron kis, which translates into muktzah because of financial loss, but it's more like the way I relate to this item because of financial loss. The example that the Gemara gives is, let's say, a knife that's used either for shechita, that has to be perfectly sharp and no nicks on it. So the shochet has a case and he puts it aside and he doesn't use that knife just for anything. And therefore that knife, because it has a special case and it's put aside, is actually, in other words, it's mentally or physically actually put aside. He's makzer, he puts it out of his domain. But it really pertains to anything that is delicate and of value and that has a special case or a special place that it's put in order that it doesn't get ruined. Okay, it includes a mila knife, it includes delicate objects that have a special showcase, you know, that are kept in glass so that people don't handle it. things that are put out of the way in order that that no damage could happen to them are muktzah, machmat, chisaron, kis. And because of the way it's done, in other words, that it's set aside, it's muktzah chamur. Yes, Ezra.
I just pulled up my 11th grade halacha notes.
Oh my goodness.
And, says
on your computer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is also a laptop fall into that category?
Good question. Good question. It really depends on and how you relate to your laptop. You know, I've seen people throw their laptops. I've seen people leave their laptops in the base medrash or just anywhere in the hallway. And there's some people that carry their laptop like, you know.
The example that my rabbi used was,
when you were in 11th grade, you know, it was a different world.
You
wouldn't use a laptop as a tray.
That's what it's for.
Some, I'm saying some people would and some people wouldn't. You know, if I owned a laptop, I would agree. But I don't know if people are so careful about it. It's a good point. I'll give you another example. A discussion that I recently saw. A cell phone. Okay? A cell phone. If you relate to your cell phone the way I do, to relate to my cell phone, okay, where my kids ask me, oh, could I play a game on it or whatever, and I say, no way, you're not touching this. Even when I tell them, could you bring me the cell phone, I'm like, bring it with two hands, because I have like, you know, 14 years of notes on my smartphone. Okay, not 14 years. Well, it is 14 years, but I've been using it for 10 years. And I transferred notes onto it from early on. So there's a lot of stuff, you know, not just all of Shas and Rambam and whatever. But I have all my Mamakomo for the past 7 years is on it. And I don't let my kids touch it. It would definitely be Muksa Machmas Chisaron Kis. Masha Enkein, other people that use their phone to call and they use their phone to play games, right? And they use the phone. No, I know you're taking notes. I know you're taking notes. I know from sure you're taking notes. I know. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. And they use their phone as a clock, as a watch, okay, to know what time it is. And they don't mind, you know, they use it for all kinds of different things, not just for things that are osur. So it wouldn't be considered muktzah machmas chisaron kis. And there are some things that for some it's subjective. For some people, if they very very careful and put it for a special spot and worry that if nothing happened to it, you know, it's muktzah machmas chisaron kis. The Prima Gadim says that hand shmura matzah, because in his day they might have already had a machine, but hand shmura matzah is muktzah machmas chisaron kis because you pay so much money for it, and if one breaks, there's a real chisaron. So that people would wrap it and put it on a special shelf so that nothing happens to it, and therefore he feels that on Shabbos it's muktzah. Yeah.
So what about, like, you know, people have like cabinets for like their like kiddush cups and seder plates, and then they like leave it aside.
No,
like,
but the kiddush cups they use. In other words, they use
to an extent of, like,
the reason why they have cabinets is that it shouldn't become dusty or tarnished, etc. But sometimes people have cabinets. Because they don't want, you know, like a baseball they caught, you know, in the World Series or something like that. A special case for it, or a football or something like that. Special case for it, chas v'shalom, no one should ever touch it. So that's muktzah machmas chisaron kis, and even though it's just a ball, you can't touch it on Shabbos. Yes?
So, kind of going along that line, would that apply to, let's say, a very old Gemara that, you know, that's been in your family for a while?
And you don't let anybody open it or touch it?
Not usually. You know, much like your cell phone, perhaps, you know.
No one under a certain age is allowed to touch it.
Yeah, let's go with that.
It might be, but then again, in other words, if the person regularly uses it to learn from it, if he uses it to learn, then it wouldn't be muktzah. Right? Yes.
So jewelry follow like the same category?
The same idea. In other words, because jewelry is worn and used normally, and used on Shabbos, it wouldn't become muktzah. But if it would be something that, you know, wouldn't be used on Shabbos, and you'd be very, very careful about it, so not. Okay, well, I didn't get to the halach yet. I first defined the what muktzah machmas chisaron kis is. Because it's muktzah chamur, so even if you wanted to use it as a paperweight, you couldn't. Even if it was on a table, and you wanted to use that table, you couldn't be metaltel it, you couldn't move it in order to use the table. In other words, you can't do tiltul tzarech makomo, which if I could jump into a different category, which I'm, you know, we're going to get to later, if I had a regular cell phone or whatever, an electric appliance on a table, and I needed the table to learn, I could pick it up in a normal way, and once it's in my hands, I could walk to wherever I want to in my house and place it and put it down, because I need to use the table. Okay, if I had scissors that I forgot on the table before Shabbos, so I could pick up the scissors in a normal way and put them away in their drawer. Okay, and because I want it, because I'll get to buses, because I want to use the table. Okay, but not mukz, not something that's mukz mumach in certain case. Yes. So if I want to use it for a paperweight, sometimes it'll be mutter to use. Okay, if I wanted to be metaltel something for, well, let me, I'll get to integrating these different ideas. Let's go to number two. The second type of muktzah is that it's called muktzah delo shayach lemidi. It's not useful for anything. Let me give you examples, and then afterwards I'll get to a better definition. Dirt on the street, stones on the street, sticks on the street, garbage, okay, or rubbish, kosher raw meat. Now I say kosher raw meat because if it would be treif meat, you could throw it to the dogs, you could feed it to a dog. And even if you don't have a dog, there's a rule when it comes to muktzah that once it's not muktzah for one Jew, it's not muktzah for any Jew. Okay. But kosher raw meat, you really have no use for, unless you're into eating kosher raw meat. But normally,
can you feed raw meat to kosher raw meat to your dog?
You wouldn't feed kosher food to for kosher meat to your dog because it's too expensive. Normal people wouldn't. No, but if you do, if you have a dog and you do, then you could. According to some, it's a machloket poskim. According to some poskim, money is also something that's lo shayach lemidi. There's a machloket where the money has a din of a kli, or doesn't have a din of a kli. According to some poskim, money doesn't, and therefore it would also be something that's lo shayach lemidi. In other words, it's something, and it's important here to differentiate when it comes to muktzah between a kli and a not kli. A kli is a utensil; it's not a vessel. A utensil. A utensil is an object that you use and reuse. Okay, you use and reuse, not doesn't necessarily have to be a tool, but something that you
Paper money for this?
Pardon me?
Paper money.
Yes, paper money and coins are the same thing. Same thing. Okay, so all these things, lo shayach lemidi, are also muktzah chamur. If you see a stone on the floor and you want to use a stone as something to hold open the door on Shabbos, so halachically, you are not allowed to pick up that stone and use it to open the door because it's a stone. It's davar lo shayach lemidi. What you would be allowed to do is to kick it with your foot because that's not considered tilt. That's tiltul klachayad. You can kick it with your foot and place it by the door and open the door. That would work, okay? But you couldn't pick it up with your hand. If, however, you wanted to use the stone to hold the door open, so before Shabbos, you would have to pick up the stone, brush it off a little bit to improve it somewhat, okay? And then you're miyached that stone for use, and then you can go ahead and use it to hold open the door. If it's a type of object that normally you wouldn't do anything to, and it's shaped exactly for your need, and exactly as a doorstop, and it's clean or whatever, then it's enough for you to just look at it before Shabbos, or even think of it before Shabbos and say, I'm going to use that stone for Shabbos. As long as you did that before Shabbos mentally, it would work. Again, we're talking about something that normally didn't require any improvement for use. And then you would be able to transform something that's lo shayach lemidi to something that's useful. Yes, Adam?
So, doesn't this, you mentioned the fact that if it's not mixed up for one Jew, it's not mixed up for any Jew, but doesn't that seem to contradict the fact that the way different people relate to different objects affects their status? So, if I think my computer's really valuable, and so it's like a dollar hummer, and it's like
I think Yeah, it's a good question. Basically, what you would have to do is come up with a standard and say, like as the Rebbe said, most people would relate to a laptop as something that's machmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachmachm particular object and uses it in a specific way, so for him subjectively it would have a different din, and his laptop would be mutter for other people to use, even if those other people wouldn't necessarily, but only his laptop. Yes.
If it was shaykh lamidi, wouldn't it not be considered that? Meaning, if since rocks are used for running open doors, I thought the definition was that it's useless. So if it's useless, wouldn't it be?
No, it's something that under its present normal. You can't use the word designation because it's not designated at all, and it's under present status of not being designated. You wouldn't use it for anything. Sometimes you could pick up a stick to do this, that, or the other thing, but as things are, it has no designation for use. Not that it's useless. Okay? Yes?
Those who set aside stones to throw cars on Shabbos,
I told you that story. Didn't I tell you this story already? It's only a story, right?
There's stories?
Pardon me? Of course it's not legitimate. Violence. It's violence. It's an Isser, you know.
So there's a little bit of
Let's not talk about that. Let's say you designate stones to throw at wild animals that might be coming to attack your little child. And every week the wolves come to attack your little child. So you designate stones to be able to throw it at them so they run away. Okay? Yes. Yes, if they're the right shape that you would normally use is to throw stones, then it's enough for you to think, I want to use these for throwing at the wolves. Yes?
Would the same thing apply to guns on Shabbos?
Rav Bick has an article, if you're interested, in the Alon Shlut that he wrote 30 years ago on guns on Shabbos. He comes to the conclusion that guns are klisha malachta leheter. That, in other words, it's a kli, it's an object that's used leheter. But it's involved. I don't want to get into it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't
want to
get into it?
I don't get into it. He doesn't think it's muksa. He doesn't think it's muksa. There are other parts of the posting that hold it there muksa, then you could move it, you know, for pikuach nefesh purposes, but not just stam.
Which would mean you couldn't carry it.
I don't want to get into it more than that. Okay. All right. The third category of muksa I want to speak about is the dachi biyadayim. The dachi biyadayim means literally it was pushed away, actively pushed away, or physically pushed away. The example that the Gemara gives is if a person takes grapes, which obviously grapes are food, and a person takes grapes Erev Shabbos, or even on Thursday, and puts them on top of his roof in the good old days when they had flat roofs, right, in order that they should dry into raisins. Okay? But then on Shabbos, let's say it takes 2 weeks to dry. On Shabbos, guests come all of a sudden, surprise, and he needs grapes. So he figures, oh, he's got the grapes on his roof. And he can't go to the roof to get the grapes, even though they're food, because he actually did an action of being doche b'yadayim. He put them on his roof. In other words, he did an action of designating them not for use on Shabbos. And therefore, that's doche b'yadayim. And it's muktzah, it's a muktzah chomer. Not only can't he eat them, but he can't even move them. Another example that is a subcategory of dachi biyadayim is what the Gemara calls einu mitzapeh, that he doesn't plan on using an apple that's attached to a tree before Shabbos. So it's obviously, if it's attached to a tree on Shabbos, it's muktzah because you can't eat it. Even, you know, to pull it is an isser of kotzer. Is the derisive of kotzer, even biting into it would be an issur derisive of kotzer. But what if it falls off the tree on Shabbos? So the fact that it was attached to the tree when Shabbos came in, and by the way, when it comes to muktzah, what's koveh is bein hashmashot, as Shabbat comes in, the status that it's in, einu mitzapeh, you don't have any plans to use to ever use it because it's attached to the tree. Even if it detaches on Shabbos, it stays muktzah chomer the entire Shabbos.
What if you have it attached on Shabbos?
Yeah, so the Gemara talks about a situation you have, let's say, a cow that's sickly that you know it's going to die sometime on Yontif or something like that, and you plan on, let's say, feeding it for the dogs if it dies on Yontif. So yeah, if it's sick and there's some kind of reason, there would be something to it. I don't know if you could work it into the apple situation. Alright, the fourth type of muktzah is a very interesting type of muktzah. It's called nolad. Nolad literally means something that's born on Shabbos. The Isur Muktzah of Nolad really started with the Gezeira of Isur Achila. Anybody who learned the beginning of Beitzah knows the, Beitzah Shnod of the Yom Tov. Originally, the Gezeira was in Isur Achila. But because you have Isur Achila, it also becomes an Isur Tiltul. In other words, if an egg is laid by a hen on Shabbos, so obviously you wouldn't be able to eat it, but you also wouldn't be able to be metaltal it. The question is asked, what if snow falls on Shabbos? Is snow muktzah? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, snow or rain, that the rain is not nolad because it's present in the clouds before Shabbos. And halachically they come to the conclusion that rain is therefore not muktzah, and snow technically is not muktzah. Okay.
That's true for the egg.
No. Halachically, they look at the egg as though it doesn't exist, because it's part of the chicken. Now, they know, they realize that the egg was in the chicken before. They knew it didn't just all of a sudden appear. But they Chazal decided that rain is present in clouds, even though the truth is that it's in gas form and not really in liquid form, the rain. But that's what they were koveya, that rain and snow don't have a din of muktzah. By the way, this might be halacha l'maisa for this Shabbos. I warn you. If you stay in Gush Etzion, you might see snow.
Is that talking about moving it or?
But anyways, but that's a side point. It's a muktzah chamura, yes.
And is that talking about moving the snow or eating the snow?
Eating the snow.
I don't know. Snow cones.
Okay. Anyways, we're talking about moving. We're talking about moving, but again, it's not an issue. There's another area of issue. There's another issue that to be spoken about in muktzah, about nolad, and that is if something changes from a liquid to a solid or solid to a liquid. According to some Rishonim, that's also considered nolad, and also has a din of muktzah. Pardon me. Yeah. So the basic assumption is that before Shabbos it wasn't. Okay. Lastly, in the category of muktzah chamura, is the fifth type of muktzah, machmat isur shebegufan. And this basically means something that the normal use with it is to do a malacha. And that's why it becomes muktzah. An example, firewood. Normal use of firewood, even though firewood is not the sticks that you found on the street that's undesignated. Firewood is already gathered in your house and stacked. But because its normal use is to burn, it's muktzah on Shabbos. Writing paper. A blank sheet of writing paper. Okay? Its normal use is to write on. And therefore, blank writing paper is muktzah on Shabbos. Muktzah chamura.
People would mean to pay for airplane before Shabbos. Is it muktzah anymore?
Right. So you could designate it to make it into, say I'm going to use this for paper airplanes. Or I'm going to use this for a toy or something like that. That might be possible. Under that, also point to some money, bricks, sand. Sand is something that's used, for building purposes, and therefore sand is muktzah on Shabbos. So you should realize that if you walk on the beach on Shabbos, you can't, bend down and pick up the sand. Either, of course, it's lo roi l'midi, right, or it's muktzah machmat isur shebegufan. Its normal use is muktzah. You can't. Sand in a sandbox, however, is already designated as a toy, as a plaything. And therefore, sand in a sandbox is not muktzah. However, you wouldn't be able to dig holes in it, because there'd still be a problem of chofer. Yes, Ori.
What about, let's say in Canada, where we all live in igloos,
Are you allowed to use snow? So, like, are you allowed to pick up snow like that? Because people actually...
You're allowed to pick up snow on Shabbos. The question is, are you allowed to pack it into a snowball and throw it? So you can't pack it into a snowball.
Yeah.
No. It would be like a bona de rabbanon type of thing. There are some poskim that say that it's not really bona de rabbanon because it's going to melt and therefore it's not considered a real binyan. It's like a temporary binyan.
But
yeah, Shlomo.
You said money is
what? Money is lach l'misur shabbos. According to some, it's and according to others, it's lo shayach l'midi. Either way, it's a muktzah chamura. Yes, Captain. I'm sorry, Shlomo.
Wait, so you can't move it in a certain way. The money you can't move.
You can't pick it up with your hand and move it. You could kick it. Yes.
Especially with a snowball, when you're creating it, you're creating it to be thrown and to fall apart in the same exact form, more or less, that it came from. So I don't know how does the bone really, like, you're packing it in.
You're packing it in order to create. You're creating a something that might be like a clee. That is aerodynamically round and good to throw in order to hit your friend in a particular way. That's not relevant. It's not relevant. I said the only relevant argument is to say that because it's frozen water, maybe it doesn't have a real din of binyan. Like if Ori wants to build an extension to his house on Shabbos, so one might argue it might not be deraisa because it's ice. Yeah. What? No, these are all non-clear items. Very important. In other words, all these spoken to more or less now. I mean this category, let's say, is a non-clear item. Yeah.
How is snow not muksa de lo shayach l'midi? How is snow not muksa de lo shayach l'midi? Has no usage.
Oh, in other words, you want to say that it's muksa
like
because
sand.
It has no usage?
Right.
Well, it does have use.
You
can drink it. You can drink it. You can eat
it.
And that's legitimate
use. Yes.
Which post can say that snowballs are mutter?
Are mutter to make?
Yeah.
I can't quote you anybody. But I saw the discussion as far as whether molding it into a particular shape would be a regular Isser Bona or not, and it's connected to making ice cubes and melting ice cubes and things like that. Yeah.
I heard that snowballs are also because of NOLA, because any pressure you put on the ice crystal matrix turns it into water. Is there any truth to that, or?
No, there's no truth to that. I'll tell you why. Even if scientifically, de facto, part of the snow when compressed it will temporarily, you know, melt into water, it's not perceived. And the halakha of NOLAD only relates to things that you could perceive. If you can't perceive it, there's no issue of NOLAD at all. If it's not perceived, it's not NOLAD. Okay? Alright. Anyway, so what we mentioned, the first five categories, I said you can't move it even with Tzorach Makomo, Gufo, Atzmo, etc. It's all out. Next type of muksa I want to talk about is a very weird muksa. You're not going to believe this, Adam. You're not going to believe this muksa. This is a muksa that applies even before Shabbos. This is a muksa that applies during the week. And that's a muksa mitzvata. If you have an item that's designated for a particular mitzvah, such as a havdalah candle. Huh? Fill in, maybe. Possibly. There's an issue whether you allow it to on Shabbos or not. Maybe. But let's take a Havdalah candle. You're not allowed to use a Havdalah. Let's say there's a blackout and you need a candle. You can't light a Havdalah candle on a Wednesday to get light because it's Hoktzah l'mitzvata. It's designated for a particular mitzvah and therefore you can't use it for a different mitzvah. And by the way, if you ever buy yourself a washing cup, you know, until your dime coast, it's important to designate it for all kinds of uses, not for a particular use only for washing, because if you designate it only for washing, so you wouldn't be able to use it for any other purpose, because it's hoksa mitzvata. Okay? On sukkahs, and this is where it really comes up in the Gemara more, if you use, let's say, wood to build a sukkah, or for schach, then you can't just, you know, on sukkahs, you can't just take down, take a piece of schach and use it for anything you want, because it was hoktzel mitzvasa. For those 7 or 8 days, it was hoktzel mitzvata. You can't use it for a different purpose. Once something's also hoktzel mitzvata, it also becomes an isra tiltul as well.
Is that on Shabbos?
On Shabbos as well, because you can use it. So it kind of like falls out of use. Yes?
Does it apply to things that are used or reused only, or does it also apply, like, if you have a box of matches that you always use to light your Shabbos candles?
Oh, good question. In other words, let's say you struck the match and you always use it for your Shabbos candle. Once you use the match, then it's no longer usher because it has no more use. I would imagine that could be a problem. It could be. If you designated all those matches for a mitzvah, it might be a problem. Yes?
Going back to the mitzvah of Noah, why in himself some person say I do something for like going to change something like this mitzvah and not solid to live?
What? Who? Where?
Did you say that? I thought I heard you say that for mitzvah of Noah, like changing from a solid to your liquid, it's like creating something new. So then why are we allowed to pour top?
Who says you're allowed to?
Yes, I thought
I
was in the
wrong
question.
So you're saying I'm just joking. No. You're allowed to. No, but your question is a legitimate question. It's actually machlokes rishonim. It's actually machlokes rishonim. There's some rishonim that hold that you wouldn't be able to purposefully, let's say, take ice cubes and put them into water in order to melt them. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin that you can't take, let's say you don't have any water, you want water, you can't take ice cubes to put them into a glass and just let them melt just for the purpose of water. You can't do that. Because you're not allowed to put something to change from solid to liquid to solid. The only difference is that room to be makel, again, when it comes to ice cubes, or Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, as an example, held that because in normal room temperature it's not stable, he doesn't think it's such a big deal of Nolan on that issue. But let's say you took something like fat. You're not allowed to put fat near a warm area when you know it's going to turn into oil. You follow what I'm saying? You're not allowed to do that. Now, with the ice cubes, the reason why it's mutter to do is to put into pop or water or whatever, is basically because it's not nikar that the ice is changing into water. Because it's immediately mixing into the beverage that you have it in, that's why it's mutter. But if it wouldn't be, you're not allowed to purposefully melt ice into water in order to use it.
So you couldn't put it into like a bowl of soup?
But you could.
But then it'll...
Oh, soup, assuming it's a cliche, you could. Yeah, but you couldn't, again, the only thing you couldn't do is put it into a glass and purposely melt it into water. That you can't do on Shabbos. Yes, Ezra?
So, like a bell candle in the middle of the week, you can't even move it?
No, you can move it, you can't, oh, good point. That's a very good point. I said the muktzah applies even during the week. There's no isra tiltul in the week, there's isra tiltul on Shabbat. But you can't use it for other purposes. And that's a manifestation of muktzah. It's huktzel mitzvata, you can't use it for other purposes. Yes?
So let's just say, like, going back to the ice, let's just say you put it in the cup, right? But that was like the intention to people to take ice, you know, from your drink. But there was less of flavor and it turned into water. Are you not allowed to drink that water?
You're allowed to. No, you're allowed to. You just can't purposefully melt it just to get its water.
In terms of nearly every meat dish that we put on the blech Shabbat morning has fat in it that would turn into oil. So how does that
Okay, you're not allowed, you wouldn't be allowed to, let's say, take a bunch of that stuff and melt it down in order to make it into liquid.
Right.
If it's stuck to the chicken and basically you're not interested in it, so it's also considered something not so perceivable, not so significant.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Who defines Hoktzel Mitzvata? Is it
each person defines it for himself. Like, you use that candle for a
Havdalah. Right, right. If you buy a Havdalah candle, and you, when you buy it,
right,
you say, I'm not going to use this only for Havdalah, I'm going to use it for many different things, then
what
it's okay.
Like a person,
even if it says on it, Havdalah,
right,
that's okay.
A person comes across like a washing cup somewhere, and he's not sure if that's what someone is left with.
I don't think you should use it for other uses, if you're not sure.
So you define it at that point?
If you purchase, I think when you purchase it, you could define it.
But if you just stumble,
could you like could you undefine it? Maybe you can undefine it. I'm not sure. But not, definitely not on Shabbos. Yeah.
But if you don't give the object a designation, like you just thought in your, like the Havdalah, you're going to end up using it for Havdalah, but you never thought to yourself, definitely using this for Havdalah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Shmuel. What? You're allowed to move a Megillah on Shabbos because you can learn from a Megillah on Shabbos. So it's not Muktzah. You could learn from it. And therefore, Svarim don't have a din of Muktzah. Yes? What? Subconscious, and no one would ever know. Except for your id, maybe. But he won't tell you. Yes. What? No, because you could learn from a Megillah. Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. All right. Now, hopefully, yeah. Now we'll get to the next muktzah number 7, Basis LeDavar HaAsur. Very, very interesting din of muktzah. A basis means a foundation. A foundation for something that is asur. The way it works is this. Chazal made a gezeirah of muktzah that if you use an object to be a base or to be something that holds a davar muktzah, so that base becomes muktzah on the same level as the thing that it is holding. Like the best example I could give you, let's say, is a dish that whenever you, and every evening, I remember my father, every evening he would come home, put his hands in his pocket, take out all his change, and put it onto a particular dish that would hold, the purpose of that dish was to hold money. Okay? That dish becomes muktzah on the same level of the muktzah of the money. Even if my little baby sister comes on Shabbos and empties the dish and the money falls all over the floor, the dish remains muktzah on the level of muktzah of the money. The dish is a basis l'davar ha'asur. Let me give you another common example. Let's say you take a candle. A candle is a davar muktzah because it's something that's used to burn, okay? And you put it onto candlesticks. The candlestick is a basis for the candle, and therefore the candlestick becomes asur. What if you take the candlestick and you put the candlestick, this is all happening before Shabbos, on a tray? The tray is a basis to the candlestick, which was a basis to the candle. What if you take that tray and put it onto a tablecloth? The tablecloth becomes a basis to the tray, which is a basis to the candlestick, which is a basis to the candle. And what if that tablecloth is on a table? The table becomes a basis as well. So that you wouldn't be allowed to pick up the table and move it, even if you're made, let's say after Friday night meal, took the whole tray and moved it to a completely different table. That table remains a basis of davar asur for all of Shabbat, and so does the tray, etc., etc. And this could sometimes be a problem because sometimes the tablecloth gets stained, and you want to change the tablecloth. What do you do? So if you're like really, really good and you know the trick with the tablecloth, you could like really pull it quick. Even if you know how to do that, and I don't advise you to try to do that, how are you going to get the new tablecloth back underneath the tray? You can't do it. Okay, So let me now get into a specific halachot of buses that are also, and you'll know exactly what to do. A couple of rules. Wait, before questions, a couple of rules. Number one, a person cannot make something that doesn't belong to him into a buses. In other words, if you come into your room in the dorm and you put your change onto your friend's kippah, in order that you know exactly where your change is in the morning, okay? His kippah it doesn't become a boss's liver usher because it doesn't belong to you, and therefore you can't make it usher. Rule number two: in order to make it a boss's, you have to place the davar usher on the boss's. In other words, it has to be specifically placed there. If you just tossed the coin and it flew in the air and fell into a dish, and you weren't aiming for that fall in the dish, it just fell into the dish. So that would not make the dish into a bus's davar asur. Okay. Third rule. If this same bus's, let's say a table in this case, would be used not only for the davar asur, but also there's a davar mutter on it at the same time, the thing is, the table is not a bus's davar asur, it's bus's davar hamutter vaha asur, which is a completely different thing. Okay? Meaning it doesn't become mukta. If the base is used for two things, one item is a non-mukta thing, a davar mutter, and a davar asur, it remains mutter on the condition, according to most poskim, that the davar mutter is as choshev to you as the davar asur. Now, what's in chashivut? So some people say, chashivut, how do we measure chashivut? What's the obvious way? Money, value. And some really say that the davar mutter has to be of more value than the davar asur. So in a practical application, if you have the candlesticks that are made out of silver and the tray that's made out of silver or whatever, or let's just say the candlesticks are made out of silver and they're worth $2,000, let's say. So according to some poskim, the item, the davar mutter, has to be worth as much as the candlesticks. Like a diamond ring, as an example, has to be put on it. Most poskim are of the opinion that you don't measure chashivut on the basis of money.
Before Shabbos or
after? Everything's before Shabbos. It has to be done before Shabbos. You don't measure it on the basis of money, but basis of use. So if at a particular time, a bencher, a birkon, is more important to you than the candlesticks, because you need the birkon, or even a salt shaker, so that's enough. And that's what a lot of people do. You know, on the tray they'll put a salt shaker or a sitter or something else, and basically have a basis of davar mutter v'asur. Rule number five, before we have any questions.
Four, rather.
The person who puts the item down has to have intent that it be there through bein hashmashot. In other words, if you took your coins out of your pocket and put it onto a plate, but every Shabbos you're makbid to remove that, to take them out, because you don't want, let's say, coins to be out, whatever, for whatever reason. So, even if when you remove the coins from the pocket, you put it into a plate, and the plate was a boss's, but when you did that, you had no intention to stay there for bein hashmash or for Shabbat, it doesn't become a boss's of davar asur. Quite often, people forget muktzah items out on a table, let's say. If they forgot it there, the table doesn't become a boss's. So the example is that a person, let's say, forgets his scissors on the table, but normally he always wants to put away his scissors before Shabbos, so that the table does not become a basis of davar asur, even though he put it down intent that it should stay there, but not for an intent that it should stay throughout bein hashmashot. Lastly, the davar hamutar has to, meaning the table in our example, has to be servicing the davar asur, and not vice versa. Sometimes you have a situation that the davar asur is serving the davar hamutar. As an example, let's say you have a napkins, okay, down, and you put scissors on the napkins so that the napkins not blow away. So the napkins are a bosses in a way. But the scissors that are servicing the napkins, and not the napkin that are holding the scissors, if you get my point. Okay?
So being a bus is just
right. Yes.
For the buses for
regardless of matter which you put down first?
No, as long as they're both down before Shabbos comes in. Yes?
You said that the Dover Hoster doesn't necessarily have to be on it when you want to move it, just hoping something that you can get.
Correct. In other words, example, you, let's say you banish Marshall, you put your diamond ring on the silver tray before lighting, okay? And then after Tzedok Chavim, you take off the diamond ring, put it back on your finger, or your wife's finger, okay? And then the thing's not a bus anymore. In other words, and then you could, once the candle burns down and there's no flame, then the candlesticks are a regular level of muktzah, which would be like a klish from lachal issa, which we'll get to a little bit later, which you're allowed to, let's say, pick up the tray in a normal fashion and put it on a different table if you wanted to, let's say, change the tablecloth.
Sorry, so then, does that logic apply to the klish, to the buses of Dover HaMutter? Like, if you put the mutter on it and then you take that off, are you still allowed to move it?
Yes.
Okay.
You don't have to, Dover HaMutter doesn't have to be there anymore.
Okay.
When you move it. Yes, E.T.
If you have one of those plates on a table and you've got expensive candlesticks, do you take into account all the expense of the plates? Like,
yes.
It wouldn't just be,
yes, well, if Shabbos comes in and the table is completely set, so the table itself won't, a table and arguably the tablecloth won't become asur midin bosses, because the tablecloth will be bosses that are muta ve asur. Absolutely.
And also, could you put the ring on the candlestick on Shabbos?
No, you can't. It has to be before Shabbos. It won't work. Yes?
What if the muktzah item is placed on like the table after Shabbos has already started?
Oh, there's no din of of muktzah l'chatzia Shabbos. In other words, if Shabbos has already started, Bein Shmashot, in other words, after Shkia, something comes and falls on it, it won't become muktzah.
Well, let's say you move something from,
well, let's just say, definitely after Tzeder Karavim, it won't become muktzah. Let's say some little kid comes and,
like, let's say it was somewhere and you wanted the space for it, and then you decided to move it and you put it on your table. Would that table then become a busis?
Oh, on Shabbos? No. Yes, here.
So, two questions. You said, like, you have, like, the candlestick on the tray on the table. So, the question was, how far down does that extend?
Keeps on going. I mean, you're not going to move the house, so it's not relevant for the house. But if it would be a carpet underneath the table, the carpet would also become muktzah.
And question number two, let's say you put like people light their candles, to put their candles on the table. Are you like under this thing, you're not allowed to move them unless there's like some?
You can never move candles when they're lit. After the candles burn down, you can't move them because they're buses, Ludavra Asr and Ludavra Chamu, which are the candles. You can't move the candlesticks after it burns down. Of course, their buses fall off Shabbat, unless you did this trick. Okay? Yes?
How do, like, cabinets or bookcases, are they considered a buses for anything that's on or in them?
You mean to move the whole bookcase?
Like, wouldn't, like, opening a cabinet door, would that be considered a tilting on the cabinet?
No.
Even if you're not moving it?
No. See, that's a good question. Pivoting a door is not considered tilting. Okay, it's machlokas rishonim lemaisa. It's machlokas between the Mordechai and Tosos, but lemaisa we pasim, it's not considered tilto. As an example, a car door, you'd be mutter. Shlomo Zalman Orbach says it would be mutter to open a car door on Shabbos, assuming that nothing electrical happens. I mean, nowadays, everything happens, right? But I'm saying if you're talking about in the good old days when nothing electrical necessarily had to happen when you open the car door, you'd be able to open the car door to get something you forgot in the car. Because even though the door is moving, it's not pivoting out of its place because of the hinge, and that wouldn't be considered tiltal. Okay, we gotta stop here, I'm sorry. Thank you.